Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. But can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing, joy to all, hear them singing, when it's snowing I'll be going back to my country home.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday. It's December 3rd, 2014. Now, Jason, that's the first time you've heard the Christmas Times are coming, unless you were tuned in on Monday or Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends. What do you think of our new theme music?
It's wonderful. It just takes me out to the back 40 to the pastor and pasture, not pastor, but yeah, it's good.
Yeah. That's we'll hear that through.
I didn't know you had that little bluegrassy thing in you. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it's Buddy Green, so he's presented a number of times with the Gaithers.
Oh, Buddy, it is Green.
Yeah, he's great on the harmonica. And actually, I think he wrote the tune to Mary Did You Know with Mark Lowry. He's part of that. Mary,
those are
Did
two
You Know.
Totally different things then.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, that's Buddy Green. That's our theme music. Those of you that have tuned in since this Thanksgiving weekend know that, especially on 89.3 FM, all the music, the radio spots, some of the scripture readings are all holiday related, Christmas related. So hopefully we can ground you in the reason for the season, the Lord Jesus Christ. And 102.5 WGNN, we're in that transitional time because some of the moody picks, like Music Through the Night, they're choosing the music. So where I have the windows of time to insert music, it's Christmas, but we'll be transitioning to all Christmas music in the days ahead. And if you're new to the radio ministry, I was telling you, Jason, I had a call yesterday from someone that maybe wasn't familiar with our station, and I told her to be tuning in for Christmas music and holiday specials. And so we welcome you to the Ministry of Great News Radio. We broadcast on four frequencies with two different station formats. There's WGNJ, our 89.3 FM station that covers East Central Illinois and West Central Indiana, and that's our 50,000 watts station, so we get a great signal throughout the area. The preponderance of that programming is music with some teaching from 9 to 5 and other devotional spots and thoughts throughout the day. And then our 102.5, our flagship station, WGNN, broadcasting out of the Fisher-Foosland area, and that covers part of East Central Illinois. And then there's backup repeaters, kind of translator frequencies, that where there's a pocket where the signal wasn't so clear, like in Champaign-Urbana, we have 103.9 FM. And then over in the Clinton area, we have 97.1 FM, all broadcasting the same programming of 102.5. So that's our radio ministry, and we cover a lot of different things. We have Singing Men concerts coming up this weekend, and then at the mall in Decatur, in Effingham. So you can stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, and there's an event calendar link, and it'll highlight not only the activities of the Singing Men of GNN, but other goings-on that'll happen in the church or in the area. So greatnewsradio.org. But welcome, and hopefully you'll stay listening to one of our four frequencies and be blessed by the music and the programming in the days ahead. So, Jason, let's, because I always forget to do that at the end, with the Christmas season. I know the
still
last...
trying to get over the country. I feel like I should have my overalls on.
Yeah. Christmas time is certainly coming, and we're going to give away. You've been telling me about all the books and ministry resources that are getting dated.
You have like VHS tapes in there. Yeah. You have beta tapes.
Well, I have some first editions from authors when they send me their books.
Yeah, from like 1900.
Yeah, and they're like 3 years old now. So we're going to try to clean out some of the gifts in the days ahead and reward you for being a listener. Maybe I'll have some call-ins. Today I just pulled out some of the Voice of Listener radio
surveys.
Yeah, it's
like Great News Radio stocking stuffers.
Yeah, so a couple of names have been pulled, and I pulled out some books and laid them out, so make some matches here.
All right. How about Constant Cutter, who lives in Champaign, Illinois, and she's going to get Tending to the Soul, 90 Days of Spiritual Nourishment. Everybody could use 90 Days of Spiritual Nourishment. And then we have Cassie Bug, and she's from Hillview, Illinois. I'm not sure where Hillview is, but she's going to get a set of Truth or Dare and All That Glitters. It's interactive fiction for girls. She's a younger listener here.
And the author of those two materials, Nicole...
Odell.
Odell. She lives, I think, in the Paxton, Gibson City. I can't remember. We've interviewed her in the past, and she's an author, a speaker, very talented, and has done the series where it's like Truth or Dare, and they give kind of a storyline, and then the scenarios play out this way or this way. And if you walk in with the Lord, you know, this is maybe some of the consequences. Mm. Or it's really creatively done. So we appreciate Nicole, and thank you for filling out Voice Listener Radio surveys.
Yeah, Bonnie Payne here from Champaign, Illinois. She's going to get a copy of Jim Powell's book, Dirt Matters, Jim being the pastor of the Richwoods Christian Church in Peoria, Illinois, a friend of the station.
We interviewed him some weeks past.
He's got a lot of stuff going on. We got to get him back on because he is busy, busy, busy. And then Cindy Hoffman from Maroa, Illinois, another mm-hmm. place I've never heard of before. She's going to get a copy of The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, which is Erwin Lutzer's book on Islam. And so that's a great book. I read it a few times.
Yep. So thanks for filling out Voice Listener Radio surveys. Hopefully in the days ahead, we'll do some more on Friday and, you know, lots of good gifts to give out. Hey, I want to bring up, we're in the season of Advent, and on Sunday, the Singing Men put on a presentation at the Rantoul High School. And by the way, we raised $1,409. There was a free will offering. I didn't know that they were going to do that. I said free concert, but they announced the Rantoul Ministerial Association that invited us to come said, time for an offering. If you want to give to the radio ministry, mm-hmm. it'll all go towards the Singing Men of GNN, and $1,409 were raised. So that was great. But I was thinking, because of earlier in the week, I guess this past Friday, you were talking about Advent, and Advent started on Sunday. But when you were delivering the message on Sunday after the Madrigals did a wonderful, outstanding presentation, you introduced what that word Advent meant. And mm-hmm. I think that would be a good one for you to maybe launch into our program on.
Oh, well, Advent means in Latin, coming or towards the coming. It's a word that's filled with expectation. And so when we use the word Advent, we're talking about moving towards something. And so this essentially, kicking off from the 30th of November through into Christmas, is a season of expectation. Liturgically, in the church calendar for thousands of years, since after the birth of Christ, obviously, it's been the season where we move towards something. There's something that's happening. And my wife rightly pointed out, I think it was on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, after I had come home from running out and doing a couple errands. First thing in the morning, I had to go grab some heavy whipping cream for her. She was making something. And I grabbed a paper so we could look at all the holiday ads. And I took the ads out. I didn't notice this now. This year, you know, usually they stuff the ads in there, but now the ads are like in their own plastic bag.
Yep.
So they must, maybe they come from somewhere else and they're all, but, you know, I pulled that bag out of the paper and I said, look at this. And I mean, it was like, you know, 6 inches of ads and like not even an inch of paper of news. And she said, isn't that just like the world to try and rob us of our expectation because those ads in there, you know, this is a season of expectation. There's no getting around it. There's an expectancy that's present because it's a spiritual expectancy. And so isn't it just like the world to come and try and rob us of that expectancy, to try and tell us all these things? You know, by the time you get halfway through these ads, I mean, I looked at them all. I mean, I'm just looking at them. And I'm like, I get halfway through and I'm like, I need a $99 32-inch TV. Like,
well, that's the whole goal of advertisers, to create discontent.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of an interesting concept, but for the advertiser to be successful, they have to create that discontent. Like, you know, I need that, or what I used to have was good, but it's outdated. It's old now. And it's kind of an interesting concept
when
you think about it.
You get halfway through and you're like, I don't know. You know, I mean, something,
I need
that
all this.
Something that you clearly don't even need. You'll be like, I could totally get this if I just get up in the middle of the night when I should be sleeping. And so, you know, my wife just rightly pointed out that the world is trying to rob us of the expectation that should be pointed towards Jesus. And so just really, I felt like in that moment, the Lord was just saying through my wife that, you know, happy holidays, the difference between happy holidays and Merry Christmas is where your expectation is. Merry Christmas, you will arrive with your expectation firmly planted on the Christ child and the coming of Jesus Christ. If you're in the other boat, I mean, it's happy holidays because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to have a happy holiday. And happiness, as we've talked about so many times, is fleeting. It's joy, and joy can only come from the things of God. So if your expectancy is on all that other stuff, yes, by all means, you might have a happy holidays. But realize it's fleeting. You'll get to the end of the day and you'll feel still empty. You'll feel just kind of like, is there more? Is there another present under the tree? Is there another cup of eggnog? Is there another thing that we can do or go to or be a part of, instead of just feeling like a fullness that comes from the presence of God, a fullness of putting your expectation on there. I mean, I just felt it the other day as I said, our you know, we start on the 30th, well, on the 1st is our Advent reading. We start with our, we've got a real nice Advent book that was done, they don't do it anymore, I guess, but produced by this couple called the Stocktons, and they're in Chicago, and it's really a beautiful book, a gorgeous book. It was like $50, but when you open it up, each day has a door, and you open up the door, and those doors are actually places that they had visited and taken pictures of the doors, and then came back, and the husband recreated them as paintings, and they're in the book. The book is beautiful. We've used it for, Jacob's 9, so 9 years now we've used it. So
get
much
that
so,
$50 worth out of it.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, we take it out, and we have the Advent calendars with the chocolate in it, and always on the first night of Advent, the kids get some new pajamas to put on. And so we've created this kind of tradition of Advent. But as I was setting up the nativity the other day in expectation of that, putting it up on our shelf and doing all that, just thinking about why wouldn't I want to put my expectancy on this? I mean, as I'm putting the little figures there, and I'm just thinking about, oh, my gosh, can you even imagine what that moment was like? We were doing men's breakfast on Saturday morning, and I was listening to some music on Pandora, kind of like a internet radio type of a thing, and it was on Christmas music. So I figured, well, it's officially after Thanksgiving, so I can put the Christmas music on. Let's see if we can pull the spirit in there. And there was a song, something about preparing for Christ or something like that. I forget what the song was. But the one of the lines that really struck me was, who could have foreseen and who could have even dreamed that we could hold God in our hands? When I heard that, I thought, that is amazing. I mean, because we don't ponder that often, that not only did Mary hold God in her hands, but that now we hold God in a certain way that prior to Mary had never happened before. I mean, a nearness and closeness. Romans 8 tells us that we are sons and daughters of adoption, that we have been drawn in close, that we can call him Abba, Father. A nearness and closeness never experienced in history. And so that's what the expectancy of Christmas is about. It's about a nearness and closeness to Christ. But it's not just for this season. Advent is the reminder of maybe how far we veered. But then we should be trying to hold that throughout the year. We should be trying to steady and hold that course throughout the entire year. I mean, Advent wasn't something that simply came to December 1st, November 30th, the last Sunday of November, and we go, okay, it's Advent. It was something that the early church looked to throughout the year as they were looking at the calendar and they were looking at the movements of the Spirit. And so,
well, I like that word expectancy.
Oh, I love the word expectancy.
In our hearts and in our minds as we move
and
forward.
The Bible is rife with it. You know, the Bible is just so filled with it. In fact, when I delivered a message this last weekend, which I delivered the third message because I wrote a bunch of them, and I kept coming to this place where I felt like the Lord's like, no, not yet. But in the first chapter of Mark, which is kind of an odd place, I don't think I've ever heard too many people start in the book of Mark to begin Advent with. But Mark says this. He says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So right out of the gate, Mark says the beginning, which is the Genesis. He's calling back to the book of Genesis, calling back to the first tentative words that were spoken by God since the beginning, in the beginning. Remember, Paul says in Philippians, he who began a good work in you. So this is all talk that's talking about before the fall, before that, that God began a good work, and that good work was began in you. You didn't exist yet, but you existed long before today in the mind of God. God knew you. He knew how many hairs were going to be on your head, the ways and plans that he would have to prosper you. And so he says in the beginning, the gospel. What is the gospel? The evangelion, the good news. The good news of what? Jesus Christ. That means that Jesus Christ is the embodiment of good news. In the midst of everything that you have happening in the Christmas season, I'm just telling you, you need good news. You need some good news, because turn on the TV, that's not good news. A stack of ads, that's not good news. That's telling me everything that I don't have, that I should have, that I wished I could have. And so we need the good news and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then Mark says, he throws on top of that, the Son of God. So right out of the gate, he's saying, this guy's the Son of God. I love that he affirms in the first sentence that Jesus Christ is coming, since he has been coming since the beginning, since the fall, that this is the gospel, the good news. That's what he embodies. And by the way, he is the Son of God. And then he puts a period. And then he quotes the prophet Isaiah. He says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. And so right away, what does Mark do? Mark, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, quotes Scripture. Why? Because God's Word stands witness to God's work.
And all the listeners would have been familiar with Isaiah.
Sure. But what's more important, though, is that he's telling us that there is a revelation of Christ in the Old Testament. In fact, there's hundreds upon hundreds of what we call Christophanies, or revelations of Christ in the Old Testament. This is important because there is, like always, there is a scholarly evangelical discussion right now about how we're pulling things in the Old Testament out of context, and the Old Testament isn't necessarily the revelation. Some scholars are trying to say there is no clear revelation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, which I would say, well, let me quote Jesus. Haven't you read? I mean, because if you read the Old Testament, you can't help but see Jesus Christ continually. In fact, they use often in the Old Testament the word "an angel of the Lord came," but the word that they use there for angel is not the same word they use when we read in other places that angels are in the presence of God, the plural word. So that angel that they use when they say "an angel of the Lord came," it's a special word, so it's denoting a special kind of person, and so we would read that as that person being Jesus Christ. But I love that right away Mark says, you know, because sometimes we kind of gloss over Mark a little bit because we think, well, he just wrote kind of a short book of discipleship, and the real meat is in Luke, or the real meat is in Matthew, or the real meat is in John. And
hey, Mark's the go-go gospel.
Yeah.
Have you heard that before?
No.
There's always activities. There's things going on. He went there. He journeyed there.
Yeah, Mark was just trying to get it. We tend to believe that Mark wrote first. And so Mark was trying to get pen to paper. He was trying to get that out there. But I love that in the very first part, very second sentence, he says, listen, the Old Testament matters. The Old Testament matters. And I just want to say, if you're somewhere where they're saying the Old Testament is passé, or they're saying the Old Testament is a past dispensation, or they're saying the Old Testament doesn't stand for today, the Old Testament is not important, I just want to say that Mark begins his gospel by telling us the Old Testament is important. Why is the Old Testament important? Because it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. People who tell me, well, the Old Testament, I just don't like to pay a lot of attention to it because it's passé. I said, well, then do you not watch the beginning of any movie? I mean, do you only watch the last 15 minutes and that's it? Because the preponderance of what happens that leads up to Christ, that leads up to what's happening, is in the Old Testament. So Mark writes this, and he quotes Isaiah, and he says, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And so he quotes this out of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3. And the reason he quotes Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3 is because he's really trying to say that sentence encapsulates this thought that God is coming to restore all things to himself, that he is coming to make crooked paths straight. Proverbs 3, 4, and 5. 3, 4, and 5? 3, 5, and 6.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart,
and
not on your own understanding.
Yeah. He's coming to essentially make crooked paths straight, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And so...
And to close out, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will order your steps and make your path straight.
Yeah, and so that's great that you even bring that up, Mark, because what do the Pharisees continually not do? Not acknowledge that God is in their presence, that the God incarnate in the flesh, Jesus Christ, is in their presence. But actually, he's quoting more than just the passage from Isaiah. He's also quoting the passage from the prophet Malachi, verses 3 and 1, which says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Again, God will prepare the way, and the Lord, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. By the way, it wasn't suddenly. God has been working this out for his glory since the beginning, so it's suddenly in terms of us and our expectation. Suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of the hosts. Because why is God coming? Why is he coming to the temple? He's coming to the temple to make peace between man and God. He's coming to judge and to justify, which is what Christ does. So Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, he's coming to restore all things to himself. And Malachi 3, 1, he's coming to judge and to justify, which is what Christ does. He comes and he justifies those whom he called, what? Romans 8, he justified. Those whom he justified, he will glorify. It's the promise that your future glorification is already a settled matter in the mind of God. Amen. But he's also quoting another piece of scripture here, or at least alluding to it, which is Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20. Interesting, a scholar would say, well, I just don't see the connections in the Old Testament and the revelations in the Old Testament, and just on a cursory kind of view, we've seen three now. But Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20, behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way, to bring you to the place that what I have prepared. When Jesus Christ came, it was a place that God had been preparing for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years. That's the reason throughout the prophetic utterances, God is continually saying, there is one to come, there is one to come. Daniel says, I saw the Son of Man descending down from the clouds. These prophetic utterances to let us know that there was something that God was preparing the way for. He says, pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. My name is in him. He will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. My name is in him. And he will pardon sin and transgression, but if you do not accept him, he will not. And so there is this fate for people that come. So Isaiah 43, restore all things to himself. Malachi 3:1, judge and to justify, which is what Christ came to do. And then Exodus 23:20, which means that God was coming to prepare the way. And prepare the way what? It was going to come from God, through God, and for God, because God always provides for himself what he asks for. And so God brings this God-man, Jesus Christ. God empties himself and comes as a man in flesh, incarnate in the Christ, born from majesty into poverty. Why poverty? Because each one of us is in poverty. Each one of us is just, excuse me for a moment, but wretched and wicked in ourself alone. And yet, in that poverty, Christ comes with an inheritance, the Bible talks about, that he offers to us. And so when you read that and when you think about that, how can you not have an expectancy of what's to come? How can you not look at that and go like, oh, Jesus, I just want to set my eyes upon you, Jesus alone. You mentioned that song earlier, Mary, Did You Know? And that song always makes me laugh because the Holy Spirit came to Mary and spoke to Mary. So I always think like, Mary, did you know? And she's like, yeah, the Holy Spirit told me. You know, it always just kind of makes me chuckle when I hear the song. But I imagine, you know, Mary, did you know? And she's like, yes, I totally know. I totally know. I mean, from the first moment that she went to Elizabeth and those babies jumped in the womb and the Holy Spirit spoke to her, do not fear, God is with you. The expectancy she must have felt. And that expectancy coming in the midst of all kinds of trouble. You know, people out to kill all the babies and this long movement to Bethlehem to where the baby was to be born, the house of bread and wine. She's coming and she's moving towards us through lots of toil and lots of trouble, which means for me is that as you move towards Christmas, there will be toil and there will be trouble. But the expectancy of what God might do and will do, what has been promised that he does do through Christ, is what transcends all of those things.
And in fact, what he has, in fact, done.
Yeah.
He did it all on the cross. And though we celebrate his birth, we have the rest of the story already revealed to us.
But there are people that this season who are in the flesh who need to realize that God came in and amongst them in that very same flesh, a likeness of that flesh, but sinless. And that he has come to seek and to save them. And so this Christmas, as you journey towards the Nativity, as you journey towards Christ, make sure in that expectancy that you bring some people along with you by proclaiming the gospel to them, by giving them a present that doesn't become the thing of future garage sales. It's not where moth and rust creep in, but instead it is a gift that you can give them that you don't have to do anything to offer to give them. All you have to do is be obedient, because God is the greatest gift giver ever in the person of Jesus Christ, that you can do what Jesus did, which was to seek and to save the lost. And so, yeah. Yeah, the gospel.
The gospel. And if this is a new concept or an unfamiliar message to you, there are trained counselors that would love to talk with you, to walk you into that relationship with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They can take a call from you even right now. The number is 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. But better yet, find a local pastor in a good Bible-believing church. Hey, Pastor Jason Schiffel there in Mahomet, just drive on over and say hi. He would love to help you understand that God does, in fact, love you and make this the best season ever as you draw close to God, because God desires to draw close to you. Again, that 800 number is 1-800-NEED-HIM, or just call the station and maybe we can even match you up with a good pastor in the area that would love to spend some time with you sharing what the Christmas season is all about.
And if you're thinking, I don't know how to have that conversation, this is real easy. Say to somebody, I'm so excited about Christmas, because I guarantee you they're going to say, what are you excited about? What do you think you're going to get? And then that's an opportunity for you to share with them what you've already been given.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family, and may this be the best Christmas season ever as you draw near to God. Have a great day. Keep your radios tuned to one of our four frequencies and tell somebody the good news message that you've experienced as you've walked along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and Christmas season.